Hey, good morning, Midcurrent Church. So good to have you here. My name is Sten. I'm the pastor here at Midcurrent Church. Take a look at these side screens here. Anybody know what this little game board is right here? Yeah, there it is. It's a tic-tac-toe board. I love tic-tac-toe. When I was a kid, sitting in church, I used to scratch this board onto the edges of the church bulletin. Yeah, I don't know why it was called a bulletin, but that's what we called it. Okay, I'd scratch this onto the edges of the bulletin. I'd try to get my friends or my parents or, you know, to play along with me during the sermon. Every Christmas Eve, I remember I'd visit my cousin's church in Chicago. And me and my cousin Tim, we'd make these boards on any piece of paper that we could find stuffed in those wooden benches. And we'd pass the time playing tic-tac-toe. Now, that does not give any of you permission to play games when I speak, because I'm not nearly as boring as the pastors that I had to listen to growing up. Okay, so this will be a game-free zone. Everybody clear on that? Okay, good, good, good. All right, in all seriousness though, who hasn't played tic-tac-toe? It's like the easiest game to play at a moment's notice wherever you are, no matter who you are with. Anyone can do it. Most everybody knows how it goes. And most importantly, the board, it couldn't be any more simple to create. And for you and me today, never will this board have been so important. Because today, this little game board is actually going to be the first part of a plan that we're going to develop together. It's the starting point of a plan that I want you and I to develop together in the start of a brand new message series called Plan A. And we'll get to that board in just a bit. But right now, let me get you up to speed on what this five-week message series called Plan A is all about. You know just as well as I do that we are flooded constantly. It seems like every day we are flooded with all sorts of bad news. I don't have to go into a ton of detail because I'm sure you are all well aware of what headlines fill our news feeds, right? There's so much fighting and division, heartache and hard times. It feels like there's just moral failure after moral failure again and again and again. Always bad news. And that can be kind of hard. But the truth is, God has a plan. In fact, God has always had a plan for bringing good news into a world that is so often filled with bad news. And his plan right now, it starts with you and with me. Look with me, if you would, at the very last thing that Matthew recorded in his account of Jesus' life and ministry. This is the last bit of instructions that Jesus gave to his guys. This is Matthew 28. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, the very first followers of his, and he says this. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples." He says, "Now it's your turn. Now I'm sending you." He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." It's Jesus' great commission to his followers then and now. These couple verses and in this moment in time, 2,000 years ago, it's understood to have established the ongoing agenda, the mission of the church throughout the ages. This is God's plan to bring good news into a world that is so often filled with bad news. And at the moment, there is no plan B. Right, Jesus is telling his followers then, and he's telling his followers now to go and bring the good news of Jesus Christ to all the nations. It's good news because it's the story of a man who came to earth who loved radically and taught profoundly, who gave sight to the blind, who healed the sick, who brought the dead back to life. It's the story of a guy who predicted his own death in his own resurrection, and then he died, and then he came back to life just as he said he would, all for your sake and for my sake. Jesus is saying, go bring this good news to everybody that you know. Right? Go bring this good news that changes people, that changes circumstances, that changes scenarios. Go bring this good news to everyone you know, to every place and every person on the planet. Right? This is the plan. In the church world, that kind of work has a name, right? That kind of work of telling people about this guy, Jesus, it has a fancy, churchy sounding name that isn't really a part of our everyday vocabulary. It's called evangelism. And if you're familiar with the word or familiar with the concept, my guess is that just the mention of it makes you squirm. You're saying, oh, you know, that's not for me. You're thinking, oh, that's for guys like Billy Graham. You know, we were celebrating the life of Billy Graham this week. We think, you know what, that's for, you know, spiritual giants or spiritual elites like him. Or maybe this. I think this might be even more common. You say, oh, you know, that is, you know, it's just not for me. It's not my style. You know, evangelism is kind of pushy. It's for outgoing, overly excited, in-your-face Christians in coffee shops and on street corners or passing out pamphlets about God, kind of making you feel a little bit uneasy. So I think that's what most of us, Christians and non-Christians even, I think that's what most of us think of when we think of this idea of evangelism. And most of us aren't interested. We say, yeah, you know, I'll pass, thanks. But what I want to help us to see over the next 5 weeks, which, by the way, that there couldn't be a better time to you know, be talking about this kind of thing in the weeks leading up to Easter, that there really isn't a better time, right? So in these few weeks, I want to help us see that's not what it is at all, right? That the awkward or the forced or the, you know, kind of in-your-face Christian or in-your-face conversations about God, that's not it at all. In fact, that's not me. You might assume, oh, you know, he's the pastor. I'm sure he loves inviting himself into conversation with unsuspecting people in coffee shops and telling them all about Jesus for as long as they will listen. The truth is, I don't really love doing that. I don't really like being approached like that all the time, and I'm not all that comfortable or interested in approaching other people like that. But regardless of what I'm comfortable with or not, that's just not the real heart of this intimidating word called evangelism. It's actually much more simple than that. It can be done by anyone, by every one of you and by me, because real, genuine, authentic, intentional, and I would say effective evangelism, it can be broken down into simple practices of how we invest well in other people, simple practices that we can incorporate into our daily life. And so over the course of the next 5 weeks, I want to help us to get a better handle on what this is all about, get a better handle on what these practices really are. And to help you do this, we wanted there to be an easy way for you to remember these five practices. And so there's an acronym to help you do that. The acronym is the word BLESS. It's the word BLESS. And each of these five practices that we'll look closely at in the coming weeks, each of these practices is represented by a letter in the word BLESS. Maybe you say, what's up with bless? You might ask, you know, why bless? Why that word? Where does that come from? Let me just give you some insight on why this is, I think, the perfect word to help us remember these practices. It's the perfect word because at the heart of God's plan, at the heart of this idea of evangelism, is simply the intent to be a blessing to people. Right, to do good or to, you know, bring good news or be good news in their life, to be a good friend, to be a good neighbor. Right, blessing people is far more effective, I believe, than converting people. Right, in fact, I came across some fascinating research this week. This study was based on two teams of missionaries that both went to Thailand. And they both went to Thailand with two distinctly different missional strategies or missional approaches. The first team, they went with the sole intention of converting people or evangelizing everyone around them, right? I think this is the kind of, you know, thing that makes, you know, so many of us cringe, right? But the second team, they went with the intention of blessing people. That was it. They went with the sole intention of being a blessing to people. They would say, hey, I'm just here to bless whoever comes my way, or hey, we just want to be a blessing to the people in this community. And the study followed them for a couple years, and here's what they discovered. First of all, they discovered that the team that went to be a blessing had a greater social impact than the team that went converting. Right? Their research determined that their strategy or their approach, it resulted in what they said was tremendous amounts of social betterment and social good. That's cool. I like that. But secondly, here's where this gets interesting. Here's where this is a little bit surprising even. They discovered also that the team that went to be a blessing, they also had 50 times as many conversions as the team that went converting, right? The blessers beat out the converters 50 times more in telling people about Jesus and seeing people respond to and be impacted by the good news of Jesus. Bottom line for you and me is this: the best way to accomplish this mission that Jesus gave us, the best way to step into this plan A of God's, is to focus not on converting, not on sealing the deal, or you know, closing the sale, or getting people to pray the prayer. That's what freaks everybody out, right? But the focus should be on blessing people. Focus should be on being a blessing to people. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are plan A, right? This is your mission, and it is not optional. If you're not quite or not yet a follower of Jesus, all of this is optional for you. You can listen in for free today. You can decide to play along if you'd like. I happen to think that even if the spiritual end of this doesn't click with you, I still think these practices are great ways, maybe the best way, to be a great neighbor, to be a great coworker, to be a great member of any community, and to have an impact on the community where you live, right? So you can play along at your own risk. You never know. You might even just be teaching people about Jesus along the way without even knowing it or without even trying. But for all of us, no matter where you're at today, let's not wait any longer. Let's get to the first practice to put into play in our life. And if your original idea or if your original thoughts of evangelism freaked you out, then you're going to love this first one. You're going to love this first practice, because to do it, you don't even have to leave your house. The first practice to put into play in our life is to begin with prayer. We begin with prayer, right? The first part of this plan is to pray for people in your life that are far from God or who are asking questions about God. Right? Maybe you're saying, I'm not that great at praying. I don't know how to do it all the time. It's easy, right? You just ask God, how can I be a blessing in their life? How can I invest well into these people? How could I, God, make an impact on these people in my life? We begin with prayer, right? We don't just acknowledge our interest in stepping into this plan. We don't just acknowledge our interest in being a blessing to people and then wake up tomorrow and just go excitedly and blindly and aimlessly into the world. No, we have to know what we're looking for. And I think praying helps. I love what Colossians 4:2 says. This is Paul writing to his partners, all right, the guys working alongside him to tell people about the person of Jesus Christ. It's hard work in that day. It's an uphill battle. And Paul is even in prison at times because of the message that he keeps telling anyone who will listen. But here's what he writes. Colossians 4:2, he says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves, he says, to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He's telling his crew, he's telling his partners, devote yourselves to prayer for what it is that we are doing. And then be watchful and thankful for the opportunities we can point people to Jesus, right? For the opportunities that we can redirect people to Jesus. Devote yourselves to prayer and then be watchful. See, what that tells me is this: that what we pray for tells our eyes what to look for. Let me say that again. What we pray for tells our eyes what to look for. Let me see if I can help you understand this from another angle here. See, when I was a senior in college, I was getting ready to buy my first cars. Big deal, right? My family loved cars. My dad was a car guy, and so this was a big deal. Right? There's so many to choose from. There's countless brands and makes and models and colors and packages and features and options and on down the line. For whatever reason, I had decided that I wanted a Honda CR-V, which if you have seen my family driving around town, yes, It is the very same one. It is still going strong. Okay, but at the time, that's what I was leaning toward. I was interested, for some reason, in a Honda CR-V. But there was some time between when I decided that that's what I wanted, or that's what I thought I wanted, and when I actually went and bought the car. And in that time, in those few weeks, as I drove around the crowded streets of Chicago, or as a city that has more cars crammed onto its city streets than I ever care to imagine again, right? In those weeks, as I drove around, do you know what one car I saw everywhere I looked? Some of you have had the same experience, I can tell. Yeah, it was a Honda CR-V. Right, everywhere I looked, everywhere I turned, every parked car that I drove past on the side of the road seemed like it was a Honda CR-V. Right, the things that are on our minds are the things that our eyes know to look for. The things that are on our hearts and on our minds are the things that our eyes just naturally see and pick up on. Right, so when it comes to our desire to bless people around us or to invest well into people in our life, we simply begin with prayer for these people and for these opportunities, because what we pray for tells our eyes what to look for, right? What we pray for keeps us alert to the people and the opportunities that might come our way. What we pray for alerts us to the places where we can lean in to the people around us. So as we begin to put this kind of plan into play in our lives, we simply have to begin with prayer, right? It points us in the right direction, right? It's the foundation that we work from. It's the blueprint, right? Every good plan has a blueprint. It's the map. Every good mission has a map. And I want to make sure that you have one as well for this mission, for this plan. And that's where that tic-tac-toe game board comes back into play for you and for me. But no, it won't be a game board this time, right? We're not going to just start having random games of tic-tac-toe happening all across the area, right? That little game board, it'll be a map for you. It'll be a blueprint for you and for the people that are in your life that are far from God or that are asking questions about God that you can be praying for. Right, it's going to be a map and a blueprint for you about the people that you are praying and asking God to show you how you can be a blessing to those people. Right, so I want all of us to create a map for all of us here this morning, for all of us associated with Midcurrent Church, right? For anyone listening online, I want for all of us to create a map of our neighborhood with our house at the center, right? And as easy as that is to create, I'm not even going to make you draw one on your own. We made one for you. Our ushers are going to pass one out to you right now, right? Grab one for yourself, grab one for your family, grab one for your locker at school or for your desk at work. As you can see in the middle of that board, you can see you are in the middle. Your house is at the center. Now, your job is to fill in the spaces around you, not with X's and with O's, but with the people that you might begin praying for, right? For the people that you would be asking God, how could I be a blessing to them? How could I make an impact in their life? How could I invest well into them, right? So it's the people that live next door on either side, fill in the names, right? It's the people that live across the street or just behind you, or the people that live, you know, at a diagonal from you, right? Use this map as a guide and as a reminder to you about the people in your life that are far from God or asking questions about God or who are in need of some good news in their life. Right, for those of us who are ready to respond to Jesus, who said, hey, it's your turn now. I'm sending you, right? For those of us who say, yup, I'm in. I want to step up to the plate. This is how we start. No Bible pamphlets, no awkward or forced conversations in coffee shops or street corners. Right, just fill in the map and begin to pray. God, how would you use me to be a blessing to these people in my life that are far from you or who are asking questions about you? You pray, you know, how could I, where could I, when could I show up in their life in a really meaningful way? Where could I be the actual presence of good news showing up in the lives of the people that you care about, God, and that I care about to. We begin with prayer. And now let me just say this. Don't overthink this. Don't overthink this map. Maybe you're thinking or you're asking, well, hey, I don't live in a neighborhood. What should I do? I don't have neighbors in all these places, or all my neighbors already go to church or whatever. Again, don't overthink the map. You know the people in your life that you care about. You know the people in your life that might be far from God. You know the people in your life that might be asking questions about God or that might be in need of some good news in their life. If it's not a neighbor, maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker who you've developed a close relationship with, right? Maybe it's the person that you seem to be, always running next to on the treadmill in the early morning hours. Maybe it's the person whose locker is next to yours or who seems to be in all of the same classes as you. Maybe it's the person who keeps popping up in your life everywhere you go. You always seem to be kind of oddly running into them in the grocery store or at the coffee shop or when you're out to eat, right? Don't overthink the map. Put these people on the map and start to ask God where and how you could impact them, how you could be a blessing to them. See, you never know who's on their last straw. You never know who's wondering or waiting or hoping for some kind of light to enter their darkness. Right? You never know who's waiting for some bit of good news, any bit of good news, to break the trend of bad news in their life. That could be you. Right? You just have to start by asking God to show you where, to show you when, to show you who. Right? Pray that God would show you. And I think you'd be surprised. You start to ask, God, would you show me these people? Would you show me these opportunities? And I think you'd be surprised at what people and what opportunities come your way. And I think you'd be surprised at the impact that you could have. It's almost 5 years ago that Erica and I moved to Menominee, Wisconsin. I had just accepted a job as a pastor at a church there. And we bought a house and we moved into a great little neighborhood on the southeast end of town. And as we were introduced to more and more of our neighbors, we realized that just about our whole neighborhood, it seemed like, attended the church where I had just begun working. At first, Erica and I assumed that it was, maybe it was just a part of living in a small town, right? We were not in Chicago any longer. So we kind of figured, hey, smaller town, bigger church. We figured must be a coincidence. But not long after, we would discover that it was no coincidence. We'd go to dinner at one of the founding members of that church. One of the founding members of this church invited us over for dinner. He was one of the most faithful men that I knew. And we would discover, as he shared with us, we discovered that he used to live in that neighborhood. And years ago, he used to walk through that neighborhood every day, and praying for each family and for each house that he passed by. Every day. Praying for these people, praying for these families, praying for these homes, his neighbors. And those prayers led to relationships and to opportunities to tell people about his faith and to tell them about the church that helped develop it, right? To point them in that direction. And little by little, those people began attending that church, right? Those prayers made a difference in that little section of town. And I can't help but think about the same opportunities, the same kind of impact, the same kind of difference being made in your neighborhood and in mine. Right, but maybe you're not as optimistic. Maybe you're thinking, hey, this is great, Sten, but let's just be realistic about what can happen with my little map. You're thinking, hey, I'm in, this is great, but I just have a couple people on my map. You're thinking, hey, what really can come from just these couple people? To that, I'd say this. Well, that's a lucky couple people to have you in their corner. But more importantly, I'd say this. When I close my eyes and think about all this, when I close my eyes and think about the impact that could be made, the difference that could be made, I don't just see your little map or mine. I don't just see your neighborhood or mine. I see a whole entire neighborhoods. And cities and towns and schools and offices and communities that you and I represent. I see person after person, neighbor after neighbor, family after family, city after city who is impacted by the good news that you and I might bring into or even be in their life, right? I see what these neighborhoods and these families and these people could become. I see the beginning of what could become a massive shift in the spiritual temperature around us, a massive shift in the spiritual climate of Western Wisconsin even. And I see God's plan A being unleashed across an entire region and an entire region being impacted for good. All beginning when you and I begin with prayer. It's the first step. It's the first practice, not in some kind of gimmick or strategy. I mean, I should have said this at the beginning, right? This isn't a strategy. It's not a gimmick or some kind of little calculation of ours. It's not 5 weeks of playing along and then just forgetting all about this when the series is over. No, it's the starting point for what I hope is a new and a simple and a natural rhythm to our everyday life. Right, a new start to the people that we want to be and to the people that we want to become. I hope it's a new start to a new natural way of life that we step into as we recognize we're a part of God's greater plan. And it all begins with prayer. And so my question to you is this. Who's on your map? Right, who in your life is far from God? Who in your life do you know is asking questions about God? Who in your life could really use some good news in the midst of so much bad news in their life right now? Pray for them. Pray for those people and pray that God would show you how to be a blessing in their life. Pray that God would show you how to invest well in their life. Pray that God would show you how you could make an impact in their life. And then be on the lookout, because what you pray for tells your eyes what to look for. Let me pray for us right now. God, we're grateful for this morning, and we're grateful for this chance to be here together. At this church that, God, you have set into motion. And God, this is our prayer, God, that we want to say yes. We want to step up to the plate when it comes to your plan for bringing good news into the world around us, into the lives of people around us, God. So we're just asking you, would you show us, God? Would you remind us, or would you make it clear to us, God, about the people who are in our life that are in need of some good news, God? Would you make it clear to us about the people that are in our life that are far from you or that are asking questions about you? And would you, God, would you just show us ways to show up in their life? Would you help us to know how and where and when to invest well into these people, God, to be the best neighbors that we could be, to be the best coworkers, to be the best family members, sons and daughters, or nieces and nephews, God, whatever it is, would you show us how to invest well, how to be a blessing to the people around us? God, we want to take part in this, and we ask for your help in trying to do it. We ask for your help, and we also give you thanks for this morning and for this chance to kind of set our sights as a whole group onto something bigger than us. And God, we pray that you would just completely blow us away and do things that beyond our wildest imaginations in this church, God, and in our neighborhoods and in the communities that we call home. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.